It's your favorite blockhead coming to you once again to talk about my sponsors over at Narrative.fm with their newest show, In the Wild. This podcast is true and gripping tales of survival, tragedy, and triumph from the depths of the wilderness. Those of you that love the great outdoors but know the risks that lay ahead, these guys tell meaningful stories on their podcast, so check out In the Wild, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can go to my link for yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, and you can pull up the In the Wild podcast. Highly recommend this podcast. Super proud to be a part of their journey. Once again, that is the In the Wild podcast. Go check them out today. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little, and usually we talk about things that I want to discuss, but that is not what's going to happen here today. I will say now, the best is yet to come undone. Thank you for those who are fans who understand that reference. But we're going to get into these guys. They are here. I would never thought in a million years the same band I would listen to in my truck on my way to high school would be sitting across from me in a virtual conference today. But they are here. They're giving me the time of day. Without any further ado, I give you AJ and Jeremy from Lit, the band. Gentlemen, welcome to the Blockhead Hour.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us.
I am super thrilled that you gave me the time of day. But I will say this, guys. I reached out to your manager online. I reached out to Michaela because what I ended up buying this. I bought your coffee blend that you had. And then when I got it, I found out, wait a minute, that's whole bean. I didn't ask for the ground. So the little redhead girl, my wife, goes, here, I'll go get you a coffee grinder. I tried it. It's actually a really good medium roast. So, but I'm going to ask this, though, even though you guys have put it out there, AJ, who had the original idea of you guys putting a coffee out there for fans to be able to purchase? Was that you guys? You have a puzzle also, apparently. But who decided to put this out there on the cover and give coffee out?
Well, the idea of doing a Lit anniversary coffee was brought to our attention. I think our manager did it, right, Jared?
The roaster of that coffee came to us and kind of offered us a collaboration.
Oh, okay.
If you will. And we, they sent us a bunch of different types of beans and different roasts. And me and AJ and Kevin stood in my kitchen one day and just brewed up a bunch of different ones and tasted a bunch of different ones. And that was the one that we ended up going with because after tasting 10 different styles, that was the one we felt was the best tasting and it had the most caffeine in it. And it seemed to be the most universally like that people would be into it. So yeah, man, it was fun. I'm in a similar boat as you. Cause I have a Keurig. So not only did I have to get a coffee grinder, I had to buy those silly little disposable K cup or whatever. So.
Well, I think you guys hit it right on the money. It's a very good roast. I will say that. So again, gentlemen, once again, thank you so much. But what's cool about it is, yes, if they purchase this coffee, which will be on yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, I'll leave the link for those guys to go out and get your coffee. It does have the original cover of A Place in the Sun. Guys, 20 years ago, you released an amazing album that I still refer to this day. And I mentioned, I know you guys are not here to make anybody completely miserable. You're here to talk about a phenomenal career and about how you guys have come along. So can we just maybe discuss a little bit, start with you, AJ, about your experiences 20 years down the road and this album is still played on the radio and on Jimmy Fallon and everywhere else?
Yeah, man, that's what I was going to say is the craziest thing is, you know, the first time hearing it on the radio, being blown away by that feeling to being 21 years later and having right. stuff like celebrities like Jimmy Fallon or guys like Post Malone singing the song and talking about it, it's insane, man. It's definitely, we were blessed with that following, which, you know, wrote itself that night pretty much.
Jeremy, anything to expound on that one, on the album?
Man, it was what a crazy time for us. I mean, that was actually our second album. Our first one, Tripping the Light Fantastic, came out a couple years before. So, you know, the old saying, you have your whole life to write your first record and, you know, a year, 6 months to write your second one. That was our second one. And we did write that in a relatively short span of time. And looking back, it was just really the culmination of just years of hard work and honing in on what we were about. And I think we kind of nailed it on that record. You know, and having said that, we also got turned down by every record company on the planet with that album. So it was almost like, you know, we wrote those songs and we recorded them and we were playing them live and we felt good about them. But we also started to get a complex about them because everybody said they didn't hear a single and record companies were passing on signing the band. And so, you know, I said it in a previous interview, but I said it's kind of like, you know, being told you're ugly your whole life and then all of a sudden you're a supermodel, you know. But the other thing that was really neat about that record was the way it translated around the world. You know, years later, during that time and as years went on, as we would travel the world, whether it was Japan or Australia or, you know, in parts of Europe, and even, like, especially in the UK, it just, that album, for some reason, just really resonated with people. And you know, that was a trip for us, you know, the first time that a Japanese guy with super broken English said that My Own Worst Enemy was the story of his life. And it was just like, wow, it is really, you know, the universal language music, you know?
But you're asking about the record. And for some reason, I've been talking about My Own Worst Enemy, but you're talking about Facing the Sun. That's a lot more, I guess there's a lot more going on with that, the time period when we were, you know, that out, that is a lot more than just about a song.
Sure. I mean, I had to bring it up just because, again, it's timeless at this point. And, you know, and even now, I don't really want to shift too much, but I have to, because you guys just put out a new video that came out called Get Back. And if anybody has not watched this yet, you guys haven't missed a beat. I mean, you sound like you did back in the day. So my question is, even though A Place in the Sun is going to be near and dear to the hearts of your fans as you go out and tour, is that going to be like the big focal point of your tour, was the Get Back song, or is that going to be the intro? How is that going to work as you guys start up again?
I mean, that song kind of, I think if it wasn't for COVID-19, the quarantine and all that stuff, we may not have, you know, dug up a lot of the archives and gone back to like a more nostalgic feeling. Sure. About Lid. So I think that has changed, and it's actually helped us a lot, because we, you know, I mean, we've kind of gone from some of the country leaning stuff that we put out as Lit, spreading that now into the Pop Off Brothers and keeping the Lit more old school.
Right.
That's just sort of what, that was our mindset going into, you know, Jeremy and I thinking more along the lines of writing the way we would, you know, used to write back then. And Get Back sums up that, the idea of like, how do we get back to what, you know, where this sort of was created from the beginning. And but yeah, I mean, so it's sort of like the first of many to come of that, you know, capture feeling and that nostalgia.
Absolutely. I love the clips that are in there. It just takes me back to my days of high school, but it also takes through my journey as well. But I love how you've done that. Jeremy, your experiences with Get Back this point so far?
Well, the track itself was written and recorded years ago, but it never was released digitally or.
Oh, wow.
So we kind of found it by, you know, surprise, and we had sort of forgotten about it. And then we wondered, wow, why didn't we put this out? And then, we were excited about it. And it was kind of a, you know, it's like finding a $20 bill in a jacket pocket you hadn't worn in a long time, you know? And then we called up our boy Sean Card, who has done several videos for us. And he sits on the pile of archives of probably 1,000 hours of you know, VHS tapes and Super 8 millimeter tapes and DVDs, and he's got the entire lit, you know, career in a vault somewhere. And so we just said, hey, man, you know, we want to put this song out, and we would love to put a video out that really encompasses the song and just reminds everybody like what Lit's all about, you know. And you know, it's a nostalgic look back and a blast from the past, but kind of, I guess, letting everybody know, like, as soon as they let us get out of our cages here, we're looking forward to getting back out and doing that, you know.
I have to concur, man. I think we're all going a little stir crazy trying to figure out this weird time that we're living in. But guys, you're right. Everything about your video and just walking through the album has been so nostalgic, just from myself, but others that are going to be listening here too. But just in case, guys, since there are people that are going to be on my show that don't know your story, that are not familiar with it, I feel like I would do it a grave injustice. We really do want to honor Alan with this segment right here. So if possible, I'll start with you, AJ. For what you're willing to share, we want to give our respects to Alan and his memory. But can you kind of walk us through, for those that are not familiar with him?
Well, I mean, we're, you know, Lit's a brotherhood. You know, Jeremy and I are brothers, but the rest of us were, you know, pretty much grew up together. So Alan, sure, was, you know, losing Alan was losing a brother, losing family, first and foremost, and, you know, losing a drummer came after that in our minds. So, you know, Big Al was, all you gotta do is watch our home video. You get to know Al a lot. You know, he was very transparent, whether you're, you know, whether he was on video or, you know, if you were just hanging out with him one-on-one, what you saw is what you get. He was always smiling, always joking around. He, you know, didn't have an enemy in the world. So he, you know, he was a big, big part of who Lit is. And so yeah, we miss him a lot. We don't, you know, not a day goes by, we don't think about him or see a picture of him, or, you know, it's, fans definitely miss Big Al, and he's always brought up in on our social media, and everybody, you know, keeps his spirit alive.
Sure, very much so. Jeremy?
He kind of gets the last laugh, you know, because as we all get older, he just stays the same age, and all the pictures and videos and everybody in his prime, you know. No, he was a guy who, like AJ said, he didn't have an enemy in the whole world, and he just he didn't judge anybody. You know, he was one of those guys you could just count on, that whether you needed to, you know, help moving or help painting a wall or whatever, he'd always show up with his truck, and he was always ready to help you. And he was a very kind, gentle soul, but he had a way with the ladies unlike anyone I've ever known. He, you know, it was kind of like, you know, he was never married. He had a daughter, Gina, but he was never married. He was like, what was that TV show that was on VH1? Like back in the day, was like the guy who just like was like a dog whisperer for dating.
Yeah.
Anyways, he just, he, you know, as many girls as he, hung out with over the years, not one of them would say anything bad about him today, which is, you know, I wish before he left us, he would have wrote a book about it, because he was the master, at that. And just overall, like, it doesn't matter who you run into, guy or girl, musician or just a local person, you know, at a bar in Orange County, everyone always says the same thing about him. Was just like, wow, what a great guy, you know. He just was always, didn't matter, you know, even when he was a rock star and he was, you know, on TV every day and all that, like, he still would just be the guy hanging out at a local spot, just talking to people about sports. And yeah, man, really
very disciplined too. I mean, that guy, you know, he's the one guy that would get up extra early and go, you know, go for a long run. And he was always practicing his drums, even when we, you know, the rest of us would take, you know, take time off and rehearsals, and
right,
he would still show up and sweat it out for, you know, hours on end. And, but yeah, man, he was just not a bad thing you can say about the guy.
Once again, Blockhead Nation, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Before you leave, make sure you go to myfeed.today. You can use the link for your favorite blockhead.com/blog. Search My Feed on Google or your app store on your phone. Download the app and check out the website to see who's trending in sports, music, pop culture, and more. Be sure and check out My Feed today. Hello, Blockhead Nation. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast today. Our scripture of the day is going to come from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. This is a verse that I believe is very applicable to the times that we're in. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So rejoice on the road to heaven, guys, that is paved with grace, that is paved with mercy, that is going to lead to the heavenly throne. Don't put your treasures in this world, and don't be anxious about tomorrow. This is a providing a way of reconciliation for all of us, guys. So I hope you enjoyed the scripture of the day. Now, usually, you know, on my show, I go back in, and I usually put like the quote church bell when somebody uses an adult word on here. Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm not changing anything for this episode. I don't think that it's necessary. I'd rather you not focus on, hey, Blockhead, you missed an adult word there. You missed a certain profanity. It doesn't matter. I want you to hear the message. I want you to hear what AJ and Jeremy have to say as we continue the episode with the band Lit. Beautiful. I wish we had more time to give tribute to his legacy, but once again, to the Blockhead Nation who are not familiar, that is our honoring Alan on this segment of the show. We always want to support these guys and support the listeners. But I can ask you this, guy, it's kind of strange at where we're sitting now. You mentioned it like a cage earlier. There's plenty of us that are facing this same epidemic right now. But for those who are wanting to really support Lit at this point, I watched a video and it said that things are different now since nobody's going and buying CDs anymore and everything is now downloaded on Spotify and Apple Music and even on Pandora. But for my listeners here on the Blockhead Nation, what would be the best way for, I'll start with you, Jeremy, what would be the best way for us to be able to truly support Lit as you guys move forward with your upcoming tour dates?
Man, I mean, you mentioned the coffee and the puzzle. It's funny, the puzzle came about during this whole lockdown thing. Right. I went into a Walmart thinking, oh, you know what? We've been binge watching Netflix and we've been, you know, doing all these other things. Maybe we should do a puzzle or something, you know?
Right.
And the puzzle aisle was completely sold out, like the toilet paper aisle was like a month before. And so we were all talking about it. I was like, dude, you can't get a puzzle. And there was even people on Craigslist and eBay selling like shitty old puzzles for like $150 because people were so desperate. So We that was what gave us the idea, and it's kind of funny. I mean, it's kind of a nerdy thing to have in your merch store, but and it's a lot smaller than we expected. It's like the box is like this big, so it could fit in your backpack, your Christmas bag. Yeah. But yeah, buying merch, you know, from the website obviously is a way to support us or any other band. Adding us to your playlist, whether it's you're streaming on Spotify and throw us in your summer playlist, or if you want to buy Get Back or any of our songs, just for us, the most important thing is just, you know, keep us on the playlist and coming through your speakers until we can actually get out in front of you in person, you know? And then when that day comes, that's when you really can show up and support your favorite bands and live music. Once they give us the green light for live music.
Sure.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, that's all anybody really can do, you know. It's just staying with us, you know, whether it's going to our social media, checking out updates, you know, keeping the algorithm coming through your feed and streaming the music. That's the most we can expect from anybody. Keep thinking of us, and we'll keep coming up with ideas on how to get, you know, new content out there, whether it's new songs or old songs that have never been released, or you know, demos. We found the original demo to my owner sending me the demo for Miserable. So we want to, you know, get that stuff out pretty soon. And we're just if anybody's got any ideas, you know, we love hearing ideas from fans too. Not getting from us. Get the coffee. That's good stuff.
I can't encourage it enough. I was a fan from the second that I put it in my Mr. Coffee blender. But again, guys, I love having this insight. It helps me. I know it's going to help the Blockhead Nation as they listen. And I don't want to feel like I leave anybody out. This is kind of a hard question to ask because you've been on the road with so many people. Pretending like I did my homework, I went back and looked through some of your old videos, how y'all mentioned you were on the tour with Kiss, unfortunately, when Alan was starting to take a turn for the worse at that time. But also, you were on tour with Deftones. I'm wondering, are there, starting with you, Jeremy, are there any particular bands that really stand out for you that, like, you really have a soft spot for? Maybe it was opening for somebody, or maybe it was somebody that was opening for you, depending on what tours they might be. Are there some we can kind of narrow it down and see who those fans are? We can give a shout-out to them?
Sure. You know, the road is a interesting place because you're out there in front of thousands of people every day, but you're also very isolated, and your band and your crew and the other bands that you're out with become this family out on the sure. road. And we've been very lucky that almost everyone that I think everyone that's ever taken us out on tour has treated us like that. And we learned so much from watching the big boys. You know, our very first big tour we did was with the Offspring, and it was our first time playing in an amphitheater and in an arena and flying on a private plane and doing stuff like that. And it really, we learned so much. And then fast forward a year and a half later, we're on a world, you know, a tour with No Doubt, and they became really close friends, more of a party, because we, at that point, we were seasoned touring veterans. We had like 500 shows under our belt, so we were able to just really enjoy it. And then a week on tour before they had a record deal thing, we took them out on the East Coast where they were from. Someone said, hey, there's this band called Good Charlotte, and they're from the Washington, D.C. area, and they're pretty popular on the East Coast. And, you know, when they're fans okay. of the band, we're like, yeah, bring them out. And and it's crazy. And AJ can probably add to this, but he's in the process of moving right now. So he's been uncovering all these different posters, and we've got all these archives. And it's crazy to look at lineups where you're like, you know, I mean, you mentioned Kiss. We didn't tour with them, but we opened up for them on New Year's Eve from 99 to 2000. Right. And Nickelback was actually the opening band. And then we were after Nickelback. And then,
oh, wow.
You know, Kiss. So it's just funny the way the world works. You know, you see stuff like that, you know?
I have to agree. AJ, you got some memories for us, bud?
Man, it's been a lot of years of touring. So it's in there somewhere. I would say that, you know, a lot of the, obviously everything that Jeremy was saying, but a lot of the memorable times for me, I think for all of us, has been the big festivals.
Sure.
Because it's, as we get in the full circuit, like during summertime, you start running into some bands you've already toured with and meeting new bands and getting to actually like see it. You know, you have a lot of time throughout the day of a festival to watch a lot of music. So that was always fun, you know, being in, you know, whether it be the Netherlands or like you know, places we had never been. And we went because of these festivals and got to experience just the way they go to concerts. And that was pretty badass.
I mean, most listeners could do their own homework and see where all you guys have been, everywhere from Woodstock 99 up until the point where you are now. And again, like I said, I did my best on my homework, but I can only recall so much. I don't want to downplay any other band you've been on the road with. It's just, you know, there's listeners on here that may not be familiar with the path you guys have taken. So I'm just trying to do the best there. I've thought of a question I have to ask now because you mentioned the Netherlands. Is there a big contrast between when you guys travel through the United States and then when you travel through the rest of the world? Start with you, Jeremy. Is there a big difference between that, how you're received in the United States versus how you are in other countries?
I think for probably one of our most enthusiastic, crazy fan bases is in the UK.
Nice.
Probably some of our most memorable shows have been in England, and the loudest crowd responses, where they're literally singing back every word from the crowd so loud that you can barely hear yourself play, that happens over there for us more than anywhere else. We're very kind of lucky in the sense that we come from Southern California, which is the worst place to play. And no offense, Southern California, but everybody there is like this, like, well, let's see what you can do, you know?
Oh, wow.
And everybody's spoiled and the weather's good and this and that. And so pretty much that was where we grew up, you know? So we earned our, we did all our years of growing and developing in the like most difficult market to please. So anywhere sure. left, anywhere east we went of there was like, oh, wow, this is awesome, you know? Yeah, man, you know, it's different anywhere you go, but some of our best shows were the biggest ones and some of them were the littlest ones and just in places you would never expect. And it's just been a real cool thing to be able to see, like AJ was saying about, you know, getting to go to places that music brought us there. You know, we've been able to see the entire world and haven't had to pay for a ticket.
Sure. Definitely blessed with your success. What about you, AJ?
I mean, yeah, we've from the shows and the biggest one.
AJ's moving, so I think he canceled his internet like a couple weeks too early.
Maybe so. I mean, in the meantime, either way, AJ, you are not being excluded from this. We only do so much with Zoom, buddy. But I just wanted to see, what is there a big contract? Because from a person who doesn't know, I can only imagine so much. You guys are the wealth of knowledge in that department. But I have to ask this now at this point, just out of curiosity. Since I have a podcast where I talk about the Peanuts comic strip, I probably know more about it than most people you'll ever meet. But I don't want to make it about me. It's about you guys. Is there a particular comic strip yeah. that you guys that you are a comic book or a comic hero on big screen that you guys really love? Yeah, we'll get him back in when he comes back in.
Yeah, he'll chime back in.
No worries,
man. We were so – AJ and I were – our dad was a radio DJ when we were little kids. And he would bring home vinyl albums from work every night. And we had wrote like stacks of hundreds and hundreds of vinyl albums in our living room. It was like part of the furniture. And so when we were little kids, you know, when our friends were into stuff like that, you know, into Star Wars action figures and comic books and all that kind of stuff, we were just obsessed with music, and we would sit around all day and just play with albums and play DJ and play air guitar. And then, you know, then when we started to get instruments, you know, AJ started out as a drummer, and that was really just, you know, that's all we really gave a shit about. And then by the time, right. you know, and then all of a sudden we did that for so long and then it became our jobs. And so we never really got super into all that. I mean, the funny thing is you're all about Peanuts, and I've got a leather jacket from the late 80s. I actually have Snoopy painted on the back of it. AJ and I were kids, we had a room at our grandparents' house and they had bunk beds, and my grandma was a huge Peanuts fan. And so was my grandpa.
Awesome.
So the whole house, especially around Christmas time, the whole house was decorated with Peanuts, and our bedroom set, I'll never forget. We had the original Peanuts sheets and blankets and all the stuff on our bunk beds and our grandma's house. You know, pretty awesome.
I love it. Oh man, and that's the cool thing about it is that, you know, when it comes to the Peanuts, Snoopy is known world renowned. I mean, people love Charlie Brown. He's the guy that's always kind of falls in second place. He's the guy who misses the ball all the time. But Snoopy isn't recognized everywhere. You say Peanuts, they don't know what you're talking about. Or Charlie Brown, they might know. When they say Snoopy, oh man, people will talk about Snoopy worldwide. What I might end up doing here, Jeremy, is I might like try to let AJ back on. We can individually ask some questions, and I'll piece it together best as I can. But is there a particular sport that you guys are itching to watch come back on? Oh, there he is. I'll let him back on. But since you covered that, I'm thrilled that you're a Peanuts fan. Maybe you mean you should talk more often. We'll have a good time. But is there a particular sport that you are just itching to have back on as soon as possible? NASCAR's coming back. UFC, I'm spoiled as a UFC fan because the fights are still going on. But is there a sport you're itching to see come back?
I mean, I'm, you know, my favorite part about sports is getting together with friends and, you know, having some beers and barbecue and all that, or going to games and doing the same. So I just can't wait for all of it to come back so we can just all get back to doing that, you know, and hanging out with people. And, you know, I love I love football, of college football, watching that with my son. Yes. And he actually works for the football team at University of Utah. So I'm hoping for them, I'm hoping for him and for the team that they get to, you know, get back to playing soon. And but yeah, man, I'm a big fan of hanging out with people and drinking beer and screaming and yelling and having a good time. So I'm a fan of all of it, you know.
Definitely. Hey, AJ, I'm glad to have you back on, but I'm sorry Zoom isn't being nice to either one of us at this moment. But is there a particular sport that you're like itching to watch again that might be coming back? Or
I mean, no, I didn't really grow up like a big fan of sports. I was more of a band geek or something. Whatever it was, I'm definitely like until recently. I guess I'd become more a fan of like I like watching hockey.
Okay, I
do love, you know, the big. I love Super Bowl. I love just like the big finale of all the sports.
Absolutely.
You know, like Jared said too, like go to a party or I'm a tailgater. And I love, okay. You know, I can sit out in the parking lot the whole game and have just fun, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm all for it. So you're big, all about the big events. It just kind of helps me not only just mention music. I know it's hard to know what kind of interviews you guys get throughout the week, but I was hoping that you can kind of just let your hair down, have some chance to relax, and of course Zoom doesn't like us at this point. What are you going to do? But, gentlemen, can I just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for coming on the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast today. But what I always do when we start wrapping up the show, I ask people, if they didn't hear anything else from you today, is there one particular takeaway, one particular lesson, maybe philosophy, something that matters to you that you truly want the listeners of this show to embrace? Starting with you, AJ, what would that one takeaway for my listeners be when it comes to Lit and you guys and what you believe in?
That's a tough one. I think because of, you know, given the circumstances of what we're going through as a world,
right?
I'm a little, my frustration is in the, you know, the how people rely so much on media and opinions, other people's opinions, and there's sure. So much conflicting when it comes to that separation, and I'd like to see everyone just remind themselves what it's all about, mm-hmm. You know, not get put into a folder of any sort. You know, you don't always have to be Democrat, Republican, rock and roll, country. I mean, just allow yourself to just.
I absolutely agree with that one. Jeremy, you got any thoughts on one takeaway for the listeners?
Man. I would probably on a similar note, you know, a similar sentiment, I would say that we probably could all do ourselves a favor for ourselves and each other by, you know, maybe chilling out a little bit on the social media and turning off the news once in a while. The news is not in the business of telling you good stuff, and they're really not going to get any better anytime soon. So what you'll find is if you just go outside and go to the grocery store, or go to talk to your neighbor or whatever, I mean, however much distance you want to put between yourself and them, but we're all doing all right, man. You know, like it's not as bad as it looks on TV. I don't really care what political party you're with or what color your skin is or whatever. When you go outside in your neighborhood, we're all getting along pretty damn good. And we ought to just embrace that and recognize that and take everything that we read and see and hear on all this bullshit and take it with a grain of salt and just remember what really matters. If we can get a little bit of that back, we'll be all right, I think.
I have to concur on that one. Well, guys, this isn't meant to just wrap you up, but always I want to make sure that you had a chance to do that. I'm probably not the greatest interviewer that you'll ever have. I just hope that at least you're having a chance to just enjoy yourselves and maybe just discuss what's on your heart. And believe me, I've got a lot of takeaways from this. I'll be listening to this episode back and forth, really embracing you guys' message. I really, really, really appreciate your time. But the big thing is, from now on, you guys are going to be pushed a lot in the Blockhead Nation. Yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. I'm going to put all of you guys' links up, as many as I can get, out there. So start with you, AJ. What are some big places that my listeners need to go to? Do they need to go to Twitter, Instagram? Do they just stick with my blog? Where do you want them to go to find everything about Lit the Band?
I mean, litband.com, and we're, as far as social media, we're most active, Instagram and Facebook. We try and stay as active as possible. So that's Litband Official.
Absolutely.
Pop Off Brothers.
Okay. Those are all going to be available for sure. Jeremy, you got any other, anything else you want to plug out there?
Man, I think AJ covered it. I deleted my Twitter about a month ago. So don't, you're not going to find me on there, but yeah, Instagram, Facebook, all that other fun stuff. I don't understand TikTok, so you won't find me on there either.
Neither do I. I get it, but I don't embrace it. And I understand Twitter. But either way, there will be on yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. You're going to have all these links up, and I'll make sure I send you guys over the podcast, the blog, and all these listeners that got a chance to hear you today. Once again, guys, they are Lit. They are Jeremy. They are AJ. Guys, thank you so much for your time, and I bid you adieu.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, brother. Nice job, man. Great questions, and look forward to listening to it and some of your other ones too.
You bet. I appreciate it. Either way, Your Favorite Blockhead can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. You guys have yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Again, they are Lit. They are going to be on tour soon. I know they'll be in my backyard, Sherman, Texas, at some point. But either way, watch for the tour dates. Watch for the merchandise. Go support these guys. And everything's going to be available in the blog, and you're going to hear it from me a lot. And from that note, we will see you guys next Saturday. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.